ride in a flying car today, so buckle up, y'all, as CNN 10 gets off the ground. This is your Captain Carl Azus. We're starting with a new report from the U.S. government. In the months ahead, the Commerce Department says America could see more factory shutdowns and furloughs, workers sent home without pay, but it wouldn't be because of a new coronavirus outbreak. It would be because of the global microchip shortage we told you about last year. The problem hasn't gone away. In 2019, before the pandemic, American manufacturers that needed computer chips to make their goods had plenty of semiconductors on hand, about 40 days worth. According to the new government report, that inventory was down to less than 5 days worth in 2021. That means they may soon run out of the chips they need to make things like cars. General Motors, for instance, had to temporarily shut down most of its plants in North America last year because it didn't have enough chips on hand to make vehicles. Other electronics like smartphones, appliances like washing machines, there have also been shortages and in some case price increases on these items as the chip problem persisted. It was caused in the first place by concerns and closures related to COVID outbreaks. Then, some manufacturers thought the economy would slow down, so they pulled back on their orders, but demand for electronics actually went up during COVID as people at home bought more and more devices. So suddenly, the computer chips needed to make those devices were in short supply. Some chip manufacturers are planning to invest billions of dollars into building new plants, which could help. Most of the chips America relies on are made in Asia. Though the U.S. used to manufacture more than a third of the world's semiconductors, it only makes 12% of them nowadays. A bill in the U.S. Congress would spend $52 billion to help support chip manufacturing in America, but it hasn't passed yet, and critics say microchip makers should spend their own money to do that instead of getting taxpayer funds through the U.S. government. Its latest report expects the shortage to remain through most of this year. 10-second trivia. This is the flag of what nation? Chile, South Africa, Kenya, or Jamaica? One of only two national flags with six colors, this one represents South Africa. Taking a chunk of land and making it how it used to be. Bringing back species that used to live there. These are the goals of rewilding. There are some risks to this. If the plants and animals that are reintroduced to an area have already adapted to another one, it's possible they won't thrive in a place of rewilding. If people live nearby, they could face new dangers if the relocated animals are aggressive. There are also ethical concerns about trying to reestablish different species in a place they're no longer found. But when things go right,
the word conservation means to keep things the way they are. It means to prevent things from getting worse. But rewilding has a much more ambitious remit, and I think the planet deserves a more ambitious remit at this point in time.
Located in South Africa's Great Karoo region, the Samara Private Game Reserve was established by Isabel Tompkins' parents, Sarah and Mark Tompkins, in 1997.
What rewilding seeks to do is to restore ecosystem health by reintroducing all the component parts of that system, essentially reintroducing all the pieces of the puzzle.
Spanning 67,000 acres, the park is home to five of South Africa's nine vegetation biomes, and the team says it has over 60 different species of mammal.
We're located in a global biodiversity hotspot, so despite being a semi-arid region, there's actually a remarkable amount of biodiversity, particularly endemic plants, and also certain endangered species like the Cape Mountain zebra, the cheetah, the black rhinoceros.
In 2019, the Tompkins family reintroduced lions to the reserve after an absence of almost two centuries.
When you think of Africa, you think of a lion. There's no feeling more primal than walking in the bush, knowing there are lions around. You feel your ecological senses tingling. It's almost like a rewilding of the self.
We're seeing our founder's pride of lions at the moment, an incredible sighting, one of the best sightings I've ever had actually, seeing our new little cub for the first time, which is really, really exciting. And in terms of rewilding, it's not just about bringing back a species that existed maybe 300 or 400 years ago, as wonderful as it is to see them back in their natural habitat. Rewilding is also about bringing back the ecosystem, and for lions being an apex predator, quite clearly one of the main roles is the role of predation. And if you look around us, you will have seen a lot of skulls from some rather unfortunate wildebeest that have been lion food over the past few years. But it's a key role really that they play in controlling herbivore numbers, in enabling the felt itself and the red grass, very palatable grasses, to actually regenerate themselves as well.
From the mighty lion to each and every blade of grass, it's all connected.
So human beings tend to want to compartmentalize nature. We want to divide it up into cells and units that we can understand. But nature doesn't really function like that. Nature works as a whole system, and various elements can impact on each other in ways that we don't even understand yet. One of the central principles of rewilding is actually to manage an ecosystem less. It's to give nature back to nature, give nature back to itself. So we need to take a step back and sort of realize that we're a part of nature rather than apart from it. I think that if human beings can focus on their own sphere of influence and on making a difference in their own little backyard, our backyard just happens to be 27,000 hectares of Great Karoo landscape. And what a privilege for us to actually be able to spend our time improving this landscape and making it work for both people and planet.
This isn't the first time we've reported on a flying car, and the one you're about to see isn't the first one to get approved by a country's government. Last year, the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration certified the Terra Fugia Transition as airworthy. That happened shortly before the company's work was moved to China. It's one challenge to develop a car that can fly. It's another to get government approval to do it. Then companies have to bring it to market. These vehicles tend to be very expensive, and you need a pilot's license and an airport runway for takeoffs and landings. You can't legally do that on the interstate. But with traffic congestion on the ground and open skies above, plus an undeniable cool factor, you can see why someone would want one of these.
Just imagine, you're stuck in traffic, but with a touch of a button, your car grows wings and you can fly right out of it. Sounds like a dream? Well, actually, this is edging ever closer to a reality. After more than 70 hours of test flights and 200 takeoffs and landings, the air car has received a certificate of airworthiness from Slovakia's Transport Authority. Now, during those test flights, takeoff and landing procedures were actually achieved without a pilot even touching the flight controls. That is according to the air car's developer, Klein Vision. It's flown between two cities in Slovakia, landing in the capital Bratislava's airport, whereupon it transformed into a car and drove straight into the city centre, which is pretty cool. Now, there are a few flying cars around in development around the world. Mostly, they're waiting for regulatory approval. Some, though, are available already for pre-order, like Dutch company PALV. Now, their entry-level model is priced at $400,000. Flying cars have become a regular sight, actually, at tech shows and car shows. The air cars developer actually hoped to have it commercially available within the next 12 months, but there is one small catch. You need a pilot's license to operate it, which means, unfortunately, I won't be flying one anytime soon. Anna Stewart, CNN, London.
Hey, if you've got the license, the clearance, and the money to land it, it'd be fun to say my lane is the sky lane. My street is the high street. My way is the skyway. My road is the high road. My highway is the flyway. You try to control traffic, I call air traffic control. And when I fly, I don't mean to look down on you, but I can't help it. I'm Carl Azus for CNN 10. Marshfield High School is in Coos Bay, Oregon. The Pirates are watching, and they know how to get a shout-out. You subscribe and leave a comment at youtube.com/CNN.